I invite you now to listen for the word of God as it comes to us from Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Things are getting tough for Jesus. Resistance to his message of love and compassion seem to fall on deaf ears. The religious leaders of his day are trying to silence him with threats that the political powers are out to get him. Listen now as I read from verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you. How often have I longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Lord, help us to hear your word for us today. May your word transform
our living, making us more compassionate and loving. Amen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those sent to her. How many times I have wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her own brood under her wings, but you weren't willing. In Matthew's version, this lament by Jesus occurs in Jerusalem itself toward the end of his ministry, as conflict with the temple leadership is beginning to really escalate. Matthew's version has a strong note of judgment, announcing that the temple will be abandoned because of the way the people of Judea have behaved. But not so in Luke's version. Here, Jesus' lament does not take place in Jerusalem, but at some distance away. And it's not prompted by conflict, certainly not with the people of Judea. In fact, the author of Luke's gospel almost presents it as a side comment with Jesus' feelings of frustration and helplessness beginning to spill over because the people, and particularly his followers, could not see what was happening. They couldn't see their mistakes and they wouldn't listen. In Luke's version, this lament also foreshadows another time when, after entering Jerusalem, Jesus weeps over the city and its self-destructive tendencies. "If only you recognize today the things that make for peace." In Luke's version, we don't see a harsh, judgmental Jesus responding with some form of denunciation, or a sternly waved finger with a bit of a cliched homespun wisdom. There's no, "Mark my words, you'll be sorry." Rather, what we see here is anguish, heartfelt anguish, that of a loving parent watching her child make bad choices and mistakes and not being able to do anything about it. A parent who watches that lovely child they've nurtured from a babe in arms grow up into an adult, beginning to make choices that they just wish they wouldn't, and not being able to do anything about it. That's the sense of the anguish that Jesus has here. How often are we like Jerusalem? How often do we turn away from God and give rein to our self-destructive tendencies? Just look at our world. A world where human destructiveness is reaping untold damage on our environment. A world where poverty, violence and injustice are rife and show no sign of abating. A world in which we humans commit unspeakable atrocities against each other, either in the name of race or nationality or sexuality or religion. A world where inequalities are fueled by our greed and especially by our apathy. A world where global violence and hatred is fueled by every harsh word that we speak. A world where our failure to live in peace with one another is lived out on a global scale. A world in which every look of disdain, every failure to forgive, every feeling of contempt or indifference or injustice or prejudice finds that it's lived out not only at our local level in our own lives, but on a global scale. How often do we turn away from the prophets that God sends to us? How often do we not hear that prophetic voice and turn away and live as though it doesn't matter? We're confronted all the time by a world that is torn apart. And I know each of us have stories in our own lives where we feel torn apart, either from our families, estranged from one another, where we feel torn apart even in our very own hearts, where we feel ourselves have become, I guess, even indifferent to the real needs that are deep within us. Into all those situations, those words of Jesus, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I have wanted to gather you under my wings like a mother hen, gathering her brood of chooks together." It's very interesting that here Jesus uses a very feminine understanding of God. A mother hen gathering her brood together. It's an image that for those of us who have the privilege of having a few chickens, recognize that goes on. There's also a lot of other pecking order stuff that happens, but there is this lovely thing that happens when the cool of the evening comes in and everybody needs to start to nest. And suddenly all those who've been running around pecking all differently and pecking each other suddenly end up huddling together. All is forgiven. All are at home. There's a really lovely, beautiful thing that happens, and they've become very protective of each other. That's true and can be true of us as well. All of us carry brokenness. It doesn't matter who we are. We all do, in some form or another. What we want, what we greatly desire, each one of us, is for healing and wholeness. And we look at our world and we know it needs healing and wholeness, and we can feel ourselves so overwhelmed by the tragedies all around us. And we wonder what we can do, and we feel often useless. And I often hear a lot of people say to me, "What can I do? I'm just one person." Or, "I'm too old." Or, I can't do this." You know, it just starts with each one of us. And it's as simple as looking out for one another. As you drop that little pebble in the pond and that ripple spreads out from one act of care and nurture, it ripples out and touches two or three others. And they also do the same. And before long, there are ripples spreading out back and forth. There was a very telling image on the television last night with the very brief ceasefire in Syria. I don't know if you saw it, But there in that dreadful city of destruction, a person had opened up their shop doors. Did anyone see that? There was this image of, in the middle of all this destruction, they showed it as part of the brief ceasefire, someone had opened up shop. That for me is quite stunning. That you would think it was completely lifeless, there's no hope. But what hope that was, that there's no bombs dropping, no one's shooting, let's open the shop. And people began to come out very briefly to gather what they needed. Hope, love, nurture never end. They are always there. They are like this amazing eternal spirit that wells up within us. It's wanting to reach out. It's wanting to make a difference. We even have the opportunity here at a very local level with choosing whether, will I be on one of the ministry teams? Will I be part of church council? What difference could I possibly make? And we come up with all sorts of excuses. But then we hear these little voices that come to us. You know, I could see you. Or maybe we go and tell someone else, I could see you doing this. Do we listen? Do we respond? And we might think, what's that got to do with the rest of the world we live in? It's got absolutely everything to do with it. Because worshipping communities of whatever faith, as they gather together in love and nurture, spread an amazing love and nurture to those around them. Bit by bit, slowly but surely. And no matter what the world might throw against it, that love can still blossom, even in the midst of great desolation. So you might think that all of what we try and do at a local level in our church has got nothing to do with the bigger scale things, but it has absolutely everything. The way we live with one another, the witness we share by who we are, the love that we take from this place and give to others does make a world of difference. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times have I wanted to gather you together just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? I wonder then, what part will you play in this amazing community of love? And how will you take that nurturing love and make an amazing difference in our world that needs it so much? God waits for our response. Amen.